Welcome back to our series of focusing on the power of Jesus' words and deeds. We started 2 weeks ago a new sermon series on Sunday morning after being in the book of Genesis for... Yes, sir. Amen. Thank God for His faithfulness in the storms and the valleys of life. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? The power of Jesus. Jesus taught us so much. He performed amazing miracles. He spoke to the crowds by the thousands. And then one-on-one, He also spoke to people's hearts. Jesus is incredible. The Scriptures say, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to invite you this morning as we continue to look at the words of Jesus and the amazing power of Jesus, that you put your eyes on Him and hold on to Him, and He can help your heart and your spirit. Last week we looked at the story, the Scripture of Jesus when He talked about looking in our neighbor's life and seeing the faults in each other, and how Jesus warned us to be so careful about that and judging one another, and how He called us instead to allow God to examine our hearts and our spirits. And when we allow God to look inside us, He'll identify the things in us that He wants to change. My brother, why do you look at the splinter in your neighbor's eye and don't pay attention to the beam in your own eye? What depth of wisdom Jesus had when He entered the spirit of man. And this morning I want to look at another story of Jesus interacting with 12 of His disciples. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 13. I'm going to read John, the beginning of the chapter, John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave the world and to go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God, and He was returning to God. So He got up from the meal and took off His outer clothing and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet, but his whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why He said not everyone was clean. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus was a great teacher. He had a way of getting to the heart of the matter. He had a way of perceiving the human mind and our thought patterns and our motives of our hearts. And in this story, Jesus goes kind of below the surface again and goes into the depth of how we look at Him and how we look at other people. Jesus also was a great storyteller. He had a way of weaving things from everyday life into the practical things of the issues that were going on in His day. Jesus could connect the simple things around Him to the deepest places of the human heart. And in this simple story, we see deep truth that's important to the heart of God, of how we see one another and how we see what God calls us to do as being His servants. Truly, Jesus was perceptive. He was deep. He was a great teacher. One of the things that I see in this story that speaks to my heart, something about Jesus, and there's a lot of things we could say about Jesus in this story, but the first thing that I'll say about Him this morning is that Jesus led by example. He wasn't one just to tell His disciples what to do. He wasn't one to set up this lofty goal of what He wanted them to do, but He led by example. He teaches us by example. And so if we come and we look into the heart of Jesus and we listen to what the Holy Spirit says to us through the heart of Jesus, we can understand something very important about what God wants for my life and your life, what God wants in your attitude, God wants in the way you look at people and how you view one another. Jesus led by example. It came from His heart. Jesus was that kind of teacher. When you were with Him, you could see that it came from His heart. I also know that when Jesus taught His disciples, that His teaching was always practical. I mean, you look at this story, dirty feet are very real. Tired men that have been traveling all day, and Jesus simply observed their need. He saw what they need, and He reacted to it. He saw a need, and He being Himself ministered to them and teaches this great story to us. Jesus' teaching is always real and practical. I also notice about this story that Jesus was very humble. He was very willing to do the dirtiest job. No one wanted to wash the disciples' feet. No one would have been thrilled to get down on their knees and take 24 dirty, stinking, dusty, unpleasant feet and wash them. But Jesus shows us in this story that He's willing to do anything. He's willing to do whatever it takes. We know that He did far more than this, and very soon He would be arrested on this night, and He would be beaten through the night, and a crown of thorns would be put on His head, and He would carry this cross around Jerusalem out to the outside of the city, and there would be nailed to the cross. Jesus truly is an amazing example who's willing to do anything for us. He's willing to do whatever it took. He's willing to do the hardest job. And He calls us as His disciples, and we take up our cross, that we would be willing to do the unpleasant job. We might be willing to do the most least desirable service. What about how we serve today? Are you willing to only do what's easy and pleasant and, you know, doesn't really cost you a whole lot? Is your service to God rooted in that it doesn't knock you off your schedule? Or are you willing to do whatever it takes to serve people and to serve God? We see in this story that Jesus was able to do, He was able to do the most difficult job. Being a servant of Christ means this next picture, go to the one of Jesus carrying the cross. Being a servant of Jesus is being willing to take up the cross. That's what real discipleship is. I mean, we're here this morning, I'm here this morning just to read God's Word and tell you that being a Christian is not supposed to be this easy, pleasant, always comfortable life. It's not that way at all in the Gospels. Being a Christian means taking up the cross. It means doing the hard thing. It means adjustment of attitude. It means that we allow the Holy Spirit to set things right in us that aren't right. Bearing the cross for Christ means that we come before Him every day and say, "You're the boss. You're the authority. If you have anything to say to me today, Jesus, I'm willing to listen." That's what it means to be a disciple and take up the cross. In God's eyes, those that serve, those that give their very best are the greatest. And Jesus is our example. He was willing to do the unpleasant work. He also loved people no matter who they were. He loved people no matter who they were. Jesus was able to see people in a way different than we might. Thank God for that. And thank God that He calls us to see people from a different lens than we might do otherwise and unnaturally. You know, there are people that are very irritating to me. You know that? I'm sure there are to you. There are people out there that I find it a little more difficult to care about and to love, and I'm challenged by the words of Jesus many places when He loved people that are sometimes unlovely. And He reached out to people that nobody else would. He was willing to touch the lepers. He was willing to go up to the woman who was caught in adultery and show love and care, and the woman at the well of Samaria. And in so many places, Jesus was able to love people who would have been very unlovable. He was able to say from the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the example that Jesus gives us. Jesus loved people no matter who they were or where they were from. He's a great example to us. He was not afraid to go out of His way. He was not afraid to get His hands dirty. For that matter, He was not afraid to get His whole body bloody for people. That's the example He calls us to. When He says, "Take up your cross," that's what He's talking about. He's saying that living the Christian life is not supposed to be this wonderful, comfortable life. It's to care about people that are far from God and hurting and broken. I also notice about Jesus, not in this story particularly, but other places, that Jesus wasn't ever looking to be popular. He wasn't ever looking for everybody to approve of everything he did. He didn't go around saying, well, the chief priest might not like it if I do this, and so I better not do this. He didn't even say, well, these 12 disciples that are walking with me, I sure want them to look up to me, so I'm going to do what I think makes them happy. Jesus knew who he was, and he loved his Father, and he loved people. He didn't care about being popular. It wasn't man's approval that motivated Jesus. And in the same way, we should be very careful that it's not man's approval that try to motivate us, but to be the people of God that he calls us to be. Another thing about the example of Jesus that gets my mind, and it gets in my mind many of the stories I read in the gospel, is that Jesus didn't wait to be asked. There were times when people came and asked Jesus to help them, and he always did, but there are other times when he came on the scene, and what did he do? He reached out and he touched people. In this story, Jesus simply saw that there were 12 men with dirty feet, stinking feet. He didn't wait to see if anybody else would do it. He didn't say, well, I'm already tired today, let somebody else do it. He didn't say, I'm too old, I'm retired, I shouldn't do it. He didn't say, I'm too young, let somebody experienced do it. Jesus saw a need and he met it. And I think in that is a great example for us of service. You know, sometimes we can have all kinds of reasons why we can't do this or we can't do that, or somebody else ought to do this and somebody else do that. And sometimes when I hear all that, I kind of think, I just wish we'd wash it all away and look at Jesus and see what he does. If there's a need out there and you have the strength to meet it, maybe that's the first call to discipleship, to reach out and love people the way they are and where they're at. Don't wait to be asked. The example of Jesus, he saw needs and he met it and he loved people. Something else about this story that gets my heart is how it's motivated by love. The story of washing Jesus' feet, and even the story, the text makes that point here, is it begins with a connection between the love of Jesus and his willingness to serve. Jesus was motivated by this tremendous, amazing, miraculous, divine love that we might try to understand and hold on to. But I want you to know that everything that Jesus did was motivated by love. And everything we need to do for God, every act of service, every attitude we have should be motivated by love. It says here in this verse, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Everything that you do for God should be motivated by a love for God and a love for other people. In the Old Testament, back in Deuteronomy, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The motivation of love is so key to being a servant of God. If you don't have love in your heart for people, if you don't have love in your heart for God, it's a substitute that there's no substitute for a lack of love for God and for people. Jesus was motivated by love, and he loved people unselfishly. God calls us to love people unselfishly. You can be selfish about what you have and your time and your talents, or you can have such a love for people that you're just a giving person. You just love to give away. Genuine love is evidenced by acts of service. Jesus was out there. His love was always real. It was always lived out. Jesus also tells us in the story of the parable, the talents, that every person has a certain number of abilities. God gives every person, maybe 10, maybe 5, maybe 2, maybe 1. God spreads out, and God's made us all unique. Some people have unique talents and abilities in one way. In some ways, we are all given a certain number of talents and abilities. I know we're all given 24 hours in a day. I feel like that might be the one that we least think about. But I want you to know in the parable of talents that Jesus tells us that we're all given a certain number of opportunities. We're all given a certain circle of influence. We're all given the same number of hours and minutes in the day to use our life to be a blessing to other people. And God calls us to use our life to honor Him. Back in Matthew chapter 25, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 talent came and said, "Master, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that I have returned. I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." No mistake today. This parable is not about money. This parable is not about investing your dollars in the stock market or not the stock market. This is about giving all that you are to God and being available to God with the talents, the time, and the treasure that God has given you. God will hold us accountable for all those things. God will hold us accountable for our attitude to what He's given to us. God, also, make no mistake, that parable is not about how much you have. Some people have more than others. Some people seem to have more abilities than others. Some people have more experience. Some people have probably a better way to look at things. They may have more knowledge. They may have more experience. But this parable is not about how much you have. This parable is, whatever you have, does it belong to God? Or do you take it and do you put it in the ground? Do you hold it selfishly and put it in the ground? This parable is about how we see the treasures that God gives us. How do we see the people around us? How do we see the responsibility that God gives us? I want to say to you this morning, don't underestimate how God wants to use you. Don't underestimate how important it is to God that you be a faithful servant with whatever God has allowed in your life and God has given you. Every one of you here today, every one of us has the potential to be a great servant of God if we choose to. You have the potential to serve God where you are in a fantastic way. You have the ability to earn 10 talents where you're at. If you use what God has given you and your heart's right with Him and you're unselfish, God can use them to do amazing things in His kingdom. Everyone has the potential to be a great servant of God. Right where you are, you have the opportunity to love and care for people. There's not a person here that doesn't have a circle of influence. If you use your time and you use your words carefully and you use your influence, you can bless and encourage people. And they can look at you and say, "Boy, they must really love Jesus." Or you can use your life and your attitude and your words, a negative spirit, and you can drive people away from having any interest in the Jesus that you say that you know. Jesus calls us to use our talents to love people, to invest them in His kingdom. Every talent, every treasure for Him, used to encourage, to bless others. Listen again to the words of Jesus. He says in verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. No servant is greater than his master." The question for every disciple that we should consider is not, what do I have to do to be a Christian? The question that should come out of us every morning when we get out of bed is, "God, what can I do for you today? How can I be used of you today to bless somebody's life and somebody's spirit? What can I do to encourage my brother?" The question shouldn't be, what do I have to do? But for every Christian who wants to walk with Jesus and be His disciple, the question every day is, "God, give me something to do to be a blessing for your kingdom. Use me, everything about me, use me to be a blessing to other people." I know there are two kinds of people in the world. They're the givers and the takers. The givers are the ones that are always wanting something. They're always trying to get somebody else to do something for them. That's not who Jesus was. I'm sorry I said that wrong. That's the takers. Jesus wasn't a taker. He was a giver. He's always blessing people. God gives you the opportunity and the privilege to encourage others and be a part of His kingdom every day. He calls every Christian to it. Nobody gets a pass, no matter how young, no matter how old, no matter how long you've been in the church or how short you're in the church. If you're a disciple of Jesus, go for it. Be available to Him all the time. Understand that He calls you to be a servant and wash people's feet. He calls you to a certain attitude and a spirit that is not outside of the body of Christ. He calls you to have an attitude of love for people that will astound people that don't know what it's like to know the love of God. That's what discipleship is. That's what carrying the cross is. It's saying, I want to be different. I want to stand up for Jesus. I want people to know that I care more about honoring Jesus than I do about anything in my own heart and my life. Having a giving spirit is a mark of genuine discipleship. Having an attitude that cares about people. It's also a choice that we have to make every day. We can be self-absorbed, or we can have an attitude toward others that excuses us from compassion, excuses us from going the extra mile, excuses us from saying it's my job, not somebody else's. Take up the cross and follow me. A servanthood spirit is evidence of God's authority. Who's in charge? Who's in control of your life? Who's going to sit around and complain about other people and circumstances and the politicians and all those things out there? There's so many things that we can get focused on being negative about. That's not what Jesus calls His disciples to do. Take up the cross and follow me. Jesus' words call us to look within. There's that word again, back to accountability. I've used that word a lot the last two Sundays. I want us to think again this morning. Debbie, would you come and play about accountability in this area of our attitude, this area of our service to God and to other people? You know, God calls us to accountability. God gives every one of us a bowl. And there's a lot of people out there that need their feet washed in our society. Some of them are in the church. People right around you right here need to be encouraged. God is not pleased when we don't have eyes to see people that are hurting around us in the church or outside the church. What would Jesus say? He'd say, you've seen the example I've set for you. Do you understand? He said, now go and wash one another's feet. God calls every one of us to be washing feet. Not always the most easy job, not always the most pleasant. Not always a job that somebody might say thank you for. But that's the kind of attitude Jesus had, and He calls us to have. Have a spirithood of servanthood. A spirithood that says, God, I want to be like Jesus. Teach me so that my heart will be like yours. Would you stand as we pray? Dear Jesus, I thank you this morning for the call to discipleship. I thank you for the example of Jesus and the depth of His insight into human behavior and into the heart of man. I know that 2,000 years ago, he said some things that were amazingly perceptive for the people around him. And I have to believe also that his words are amazingly perceptive for our church today. Lord, you know the tendency that sometimes we have to be self-absorbed, the tendency we can have to be focused on our own needs and fail to see the potential that you give us to meet the needs of others. God, give us hearts that are compassionate for people. Help us, God, not to look at the splinter in our brother's eye, but to allow your Holy Spirit to look at the log that is in our own eye. Help us, God, to be hungry for your holiness, to clean us out. Any attitude that is unholy, God, that we would just pray and ask you to take away today, God. Help us to have an attitude of unselfishness like Jesus did. Help us to wash one another's feet. Help us to be pleasing to you, God, I pray. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the power. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your teaching. May we sense the power of God, the teaching of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.